jasoncharles.net.
Deep talk, deep sounds.
Oh, wow. That's deep.
I've got so much work to do.
This is Pieces of Work on jasoncharles.net.
My name is James Harvey, and I'm a musical theater writer and performer, so that means that I write the music and the lyrics and the script for musicals, and lately I've taken to performing in the shows I write myself. I mean, my interest starting out was in writing musicals, and it's a very long, slow process, so I wanted more instant gratification. So I started performing as a musical comedian. Like, I would do stand-up shows and play the piano and sing these comedic songs I had written. So I started performing that way during the long, slow journey of trying to get a musical produced. But in this most recent show I wrote, Kafkaesque, I kind of merged the two and wrote this show that I also perform in addition to playing the piano. I wrote my first musical when I was in fifth grade, and I think it was very inspired by the South Park movie, which I was probably too young to watch, but I ended up writing this musical that was this satirical piece about conservative Christians protesting television shows. And in the process of trying to write that, I basically taught myself how to play piano. Over many years, it took a really long time. It would have been much faster had I taken lessons and actually practiced. But I guess I was a quiet theater nerd because I never really did school plays. I never performed. I was the one playing the piano and playing in pits and stuff, but totally obsessive, you know, listening to every cast album I could and reading every book I could about theater. And I'm still pretty obsessed. I'm obsessed with every aspect of it, I find. Really interesting, like who cleans the costumes and how are tickets priced. I just find everything about it really enthralling for some reason. I love The Wiz. It's probably one of my favorite scores of all time, and that was the music that my mom was playing when I was growing up, was Motown. And then Alan Menken was always really huge for me, and what I really gravitated towards with him is the way he would play with genre, intentionally use different styles of music. So I'm always trying to do that, that sort of music that sort of borders on pastiche. And I think when I was starting out, you know, I would write things that were really in genre and I was good at doing that, but it didn't feel specific to me. So part of my journey has been continuing to play with different styles, but in a way that feels like it all fits in my voice as a composer. But so throughout all that time, I was just writing songs and trying to get better at playing and sight reading. And then I went to NYU for music composition with a focus on writing musicals. And Alan Menken, as I said, I love his use of pastiche. And at NYU, I won the Alan Menken Scholarship, so that was cool. So part of my education was paid for by him. That was really nice. Jason Robert Brown is a really big one. I think everyone writing musicals today is probably very influenced by him. And well, of course, Stephen Sondheim, he's hard to avoid. I think subconsciously Into the Woods was a huge influence on Kafkaesque, and then there ended up being a lot of direct references to Into the Woods in there, which I hadn't intended, but I guess there's just something very Into the Woodsy in the DNA of Kafkaesque. What I love about Sondheim is how he expanded the emotional palette of what songs can be about in musicals. You know, I think prior to him in the golden age, there was just a little bit less ambiguity in the songs themselves, the things people were expressing. They'd be like, you know, more pure expressions of love maybe, but he, you know, found a way to write about dark, conflicting feelings, which I think has made its way into my work.
I don't know. Everything I hear, like a jingle on the radio, gets in there. It's not always the things that I want to be influencing me that are. But I like to be a sponge and take in everything I can.
You know, since I left school, I joined the BMI Musical Theater Writing Workshop, which is a long, storied, historic place where people develop new shows like Avenue Q and Next to Normal were written there. And so I developed my craft there. And yeah, I've just been writing and music directing and working a lot with comedians in the cabaret space as a musician for
20-ish years, which is kind of crazy to think about. And
with this show, Kafkaesque, I feel like it was a synthesis of normal musical theater and then those moments where this song could exist out of context. Like there's the song about dads, right? Which is just this humorous reflection on what dads are like. And it doesn't textually relate to the show necessarily. It fits in and it works and it comments on the show, but it feels like it could be
special material.
Like songs that exist outside of the context of a show. It's writing music for cabaret or TV specials, yeah. That kind of thing.
I think that comes from the years that I sort of stopped writing musicals and focused on just performing as a musical comedian, writing these songs that could be taken out of context, but they're meant to be funny and they're meant to be performed for an audience in real time, like they're built around the audience's response. And I've worked with like a lot of great musical comedians and cabaret performers, and that is definitely influenced my writing and as a performer. Like I'll do a lot as an accompanist for a comedian who sings as part of their act, and I've just sort of absorbed those lessons from behind the piano.
I guess arranging is such a craft that when I'm doing that kind of for hire work, it almost becomes very mathematical, you know, the way you arrange things for a band or make a new cut of a song. So it is very different. It's not the same sort of raw creative mode of expression, but it's also the kind of thing that you can get into a very relaxing flow state with, you know, just sit down at the laptop and open up the notation program and just go bar by bar. It is kind of hypnotizing. So I do love doing that kind of thing, but it feels like a very different part of my brain.
You know, sometimes I play for this comedian, Catherine Cohen, and she's just kind of a genius at going from stand-up into song, and she really has an amazing way of having the audience eat out of the palm of her hand. So I try to emulate that to the best of my ability.
You know, getting the chance to do it, I really genuinely loved it because it wasn't my dream per se to be a performer in a show, but I've really loved being in the show in a run. And it's also, I mean, sure, I'm sure if I was in the show for like 15 years, I would get sick of it and just be totally checked out on stage. But I came to really appreciate the craft of acting on a new level, especially realizing how long things can take to really gel. Like there were parts of the show that I didn't feel until the very end that I had nailed. I was still figuring out the nuances of performing in it. So I really loved the challenge of that and learned a ton.
You know, if we were to get the chance to do it for a year or several years, I'm sure there are plateaus and you find that you're totally exhausted, but then you get used to it and you just show up and do the show and you're able to go through the rest of your day and not be totally exhausted. So I hope we get the chance to do it again so I can experience that.
You know, with this show, we kind of skipped the typical process of producing a musical, which is you do tons of readings and workshops for industry and just close friends. And I'm glad we skipped that because I feel like it's really hard to gauge how the public will actually receive something from that. I mean, the first time we performed it, it was for a real paying audience. And between the first festival run and this recent off-Broadway production we did, we've had several one-night performances in comedy clubs and cabaret venues. And so that's been our way of workshopping the show and seeing what lands at each of those performances and what doesn't. And then doing this recent run, that was probably my biggest learning curve, because I haven't really been an actor in my career and I haven't done myself a run of a show that I've written. So doing all of these performances for different audiences, many audiences where I don't know a single person there, dealing with the just how different each audience is, how each crowd is. I mean, some nights an audience is super, super vocal and they're giving you so much, and sometimes they're dead silent and you think they're hating the show, but they immediately stand for a standing ovation at the end. So that's been really interesting to navigate. I think with writing this show, because I had sort of given up on ever having a career and just didn't, you know, I was just doing it for fun. I think in a way I was able to let go of that and just write what I thought was funny and not worry about people being offended per se or just knowing how it would land. I was really burned out and depressed and kept wanting to give up writing forever, give up theater forever. And so I took a sort of self-imposed break from writing. And then one night I was thinking about the story by Kafka, A Hunger Artist, which I always really loved, which is about a performing artist whose art is starving themselves. They just don't eat, and people pay to see this man sitting in a cage not eating. And for some time he's very popular, but then the public loses interest, but he vows to keep starving because it's his art. And I always really related to that story as a struggling writer, someone who was making art that maybe wasn't really getting any traction or clicking with people, but I felt compelled to keep doing it, even if it was actively harmful to my life. So I just always really related to that. And I thought, oh, maybe I could turn this into a 10-minute musical. That could be really fun. And the second that occurred to me, I started realizing how it could connect to all of these different stories by Kafka and how they could take place in the current day and how it could be really funny and satirical. And I just wrote this show very quickly. I think in 3 months I had the first draft with all of the music, which was unusual for me. And usually when I write a show, I try to outline everything assiduously and spend a lot of time doing that. But for this, I didn't have to. I would just sit down and it would all flow. So I did that. And then I found a theater festival to do it in, just something really janky, not very prestigious, but I didn't care. I wasn't thinking about any sort of commercial success for the show. I was just having fun, and I got some friends together to perform it, and it went well. People really responded to it, and it's kept going since. There's something about these Kafka stories that feel so modern. For me, it didn't feel like it took a ton of effort to figure out ways that they could connect to today. And it was really cool. This was the first time I had written something that was an adaptation. And I really felt in a weird way like I was collaborating with Kafka. And when I would be stuck for an idea, I would open one of the books and read a few pages and say, oh, that's a good idea, I'm going to use that. Or, no, I'm gonna skip this part, this doesn't work for me. But it did feel like a conversation in a really funny way. I'm just, I guess, compelled to write things about current day as a way of working through my feelings about the world. And you know, it's a practical challenge to do in a musical, because musicals take a very long time to create. So if you're trying to write something that's very timely, by the time it gets produced, it'll probably be totally irrelevant. But I think a fun thing with this show is that it's very adaptable, and every time we performed it, it's been slightly rewritten to reflect whatever is going on that day. So that's cool. But I think something that I am always thinking about, maybe even subconsciously, is the flow of energy in a show, like balancing having a ballad and an up-tempo number and different styles and genre, and being surprising just so you can be ahead of the audience. They're not ahead of you. There's no lagging in energy. So in that way, the audience is always essential to the writing process. So hopefully it will continue to be relevant and timely and speak to the modern world for years to come. The hope is that the show will come back in the spring of this or next year, bigger and better as a commercial off-Broadway run, and then who knows? The sky's the limit. I think it should go to Broadway. Why not?
Many, many musicals are written between two or three people. One person might be writing the music, and one person writes the lyrics, and one person writes the book. But with the shows I've done so far, I've written all three, and it is pretty solitary, although I enjoy that. I do like my alone time. And when something's going well, I feel like I'm just cracking myself up like a maniac, just alone in my little office with the door closed, entertaining myself. And that's when it's good. When it's not going well, when I'm stuck, then I wish I had some collaborators. But it's such a collaborative medium. There's no escaping that. I mean, once you get into the rehearsal room, it's really all hands on deck putting the show together, and the actors contribute so much, you know, talking through their characters, and that leads me to rewriting things. So it always feels like a team effort, even if it starts with me writing the whole script and the music.
My favorite thing to do is to write. So I would love to, that would be amazing to not have to do anything else. I could just stay in my room and write a show and then hand it to someone and say, here, make this happen. And I show up and watch it.
But I couldn't work alone forever because I need that personal validation, which is what you get when you go out and put the show on and are with other people and you have an audience hooting and hollering. So there's a balance.
I've thought about directing, and I think that I would not be good at it. I don't have very good spatial intelligence, and I feel like a lot of directing is figuring out where people are at any given time. But I love being able to hand it off to someone else because I have written it all myself and I'm in it. So it's just amazing to have another talented artist come in and really shape the whole thing and just make it come to life. I love that relationship. And I love now as an actor working with the director, I think it's such a gift to get notes because you're up there and you're just totally at sea. You could do anything with your body or your voice, and to have somebody reining you in or guiding you is amazing. And also when you work with the director, it's a relationship, and it's not just that you show up on the first day of rehearsal and they start blocking it. I mean, the director of this piece, who I've worked with a lot, Ashley Brooke Monroe, we've been working together for years, and she reads every draft of the show and is giving notes and putting her input into it and shaping it. So I love that aspect of the collaboration.
I am very eager to get back to writing something new. And there's something that I've been working on, which is based on the true story of the time in 2016 that a group of Syrian refugees were housed in the same hotel in Vancouver as a furry convention. And the hotel staff, I guess, double booked, and they were terrified that there was going to be this culture clash, but both groups really hit it off, and it was sort of this heartwarming story. So I think it could be the next Come From Away. You know, I will probably get back to doing some stand-up and just performing as a musical comedian, doing, you know, smaller things that are not such a big, large-scale project, and, you know, I'm always just playing piano around town for shows, musical improv shows and stand-up and that kind of thing. So I'll just keep doing that.
The best advice I would give to someone, I mean, it's such a cliche, everyone says it, but if you can do anything else, do it, because it's such a long and difficult career. But if you can't do anything else, then you have to do it. And probably, write what is fun for you. Don't try to chase market trends or what you think is producible. Just try, you know, really write what you want to see.
You can find out more about me on my website, jamesharvey.com, or on Instagram at jamesgharvey. And that's it right now.
You've been listening to Pieces of Work on jasoncharles.net.
JasonCharles.net.
Deep talk, deep sounds.
Oh, Oh, wow. That's deep.
Very, very deep.